This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Always look forward to a visit from Ben Arnett on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline from the Missouri Network all the way up in Columbia. Ben, good morning. How are you doing? You're on with Barry and Joe this morning. How are things?
I'm good. Weather's beautiful here. We're looking forward to football season in, 75 days, I think.
We've got a big calendar. We've got big red X's all the way through it all up here, Ben. I'm serious. One of the reasons why we wanted to get you on the air is to add some clarity to an issue that's been an issue down here about 2-3 weeks ago, Joe. Pat Dye came, former Auburn coach Pat Dye, came on the air on a local radio station and said that Auburn needs to help Missouri out. Auburn should be willing to move to the Southeastern Conference Eastern Division and move Missouri to the West where they belong, willing to do Missouri a solid. And, you know, Jay Jacobs, the athletic director, chimed in on it in support of that. Gus Malzahn did it as well. Is there anything about this from Missouri, Ben?
Not that I've heard, and it's really interesting. I mean, this, you guys know, this seems to come up every year and a half to 2 years or so, and everyone always gets the map out and starts talking about how odd it is that Missouri is one of the two or three furthest west teams in the league, yet sits in the east, division speaking, and yet they play a lot of teams every year that are kind of right in our own back door. I mean, Tennessee and Kentucky and Vanderbilt, it's all long trips for Missouri being as far north as we are. So I don't know that the division alignment really matters up here, but I know the fans have, over the last 5 years, gotten used to some of these, somewhat close trips with these East Division teams like Kentucky and Vanderbilt. Missouri fans love going to Nashville for that Vanderbilt game every couple of years. But it's really not anything that comes up around here. When fans talk or within the university that I'm aware of.
And with this thing is, people want to talk about, the travel and, look at how far these players have to go and all that. But with the fact that the SEC Network is bringing in like roughly $40 million, the cost for Missouri for these travel expenses, is that even really an issue in 2017?
Well, you know, I think anytime you have large costs, it's an issue. Missouri has, like a lot of teams that have gone through conference realignment the last few years, they've had to pay more for travel because we're going further distances. But, we still get the planes up in the air. We still get there in time. I haven't heard anybody really complaining about travel. Nothing's really changed around here that I'm aware of. There are a couple of long trips. The two longest trips are probably Florida and South Carolina, but those are, 2-hour flights, which isn't anything too terrible. It was certainly an adjustment coming out of the Big 12 when there were so many nearby opponents that you could drive, 3 hours or less, or 3 to 4 hours to get to. But I don't think it's anything that's, caused any real problems here.
Ben Arnett is with us from the Missouri Network. You look at the schedule this year for Missouri football-wise, non-conference, Missouri State, Purdue, which interests me, Idaho, and at UConn. Your read on those games and how that non-conference schedule is playing to the Tiger masses?
Well, they're all winnable, I think, and they're games that they probably need to win. The UConn road game is a product of how difficult scheduling became really for everybody back during the peak of conference realignment. There were a lot of contracts that had to be signed and deals that had to be made just to get a schedule together for those 2012 and 2013 seasons. So I don't know that, Missouri loves the idea of going to Storrs, Connecticut in November, but they ended up in kind of a tight spot there and had to make that deal. UConn came to Missouri in 2015 for a home game that Missouri won, a low-scoring game. So I don't know that they love that, but you would hope by that point in the season your team is, playing its best football. As Gary Pinkel used to love to say, those who win in November will be remembered. So I think that it gives Missouri a really good chance. They spend the entire month of September in the state of Missouri. They play three straight home games and then have a bye the last weekend of September. So I think the schedule sets up well for a Missouri team in its second year under a first-time head coach. I really believe last year's team was a six-win team that won four games because they were simply adjusting to a whole new staff. Things just happen during a first-year head coach. Adjustments are made, and sometimes you let some games slip through your fingers like they did most notably against Middle Tennessee and Georgia. But I think it's a Missouri team that, with that schedule you mentioned, has a really good chance of going back to a bowl game.
What about on the defensive side now that, you know, Barry Odom is the head coach, but with his defense, it was one of the worst scoring defenses in the SEC last year. How does Missouri adjust from the new staff that you were just talking about to improving that scoring defense and get some turnovers?
Yeah, that was probably the biggest problem a year ago. You know, Barry was the defensive coordinator in 2015 when it was one of the best defenses in the country.
Right.
And as the head coach, he kind of had to step back a little bit. Missouri has a great defensive coordinator, and Damani Cross did a lot of great things at TCU with Coach Patterson before coming over to Missouri. And he's a former Missouri player. He and Barry actually played together in the mid-90s for a season. And Damani brought some new things to the defense, and I think it was just a big experiment throughout the season. Trying to figure out what the best approach was, particularly for the personnel that they had, didn't have as much depth along the defensive line as they've had in recent years. And by the middle, towards the middle of the season, you know, Barry took back some of the play calling responsibilities on defense, and that helped smooth things out a little bit. And now this year, going into this season, I think they have all of that first-year stuff behind them. I think roles are in place, and I think they'll be a more organized defense and play a lot better.
Ben, individual keys, personnel keys, people know who follow college football, Terry Beckner on the defensive side, but offensively it's all centered around Drew Locke. Had such an effective year last year, led the SEC in passing yards. Where are the areas of improvement that you see for him to take another step?
For Drew, it's all about being able to operate without thinking. You know, and that's what everybody says about quarterbacks going into their junior year, right? I mean, that's the year where muscle memory kicks in. That's the year where you've got all the terminology down. I was just talking to former Missouri Tiger Chase Daniel about this a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And the great NFL career that he's gone on to after being a Heisman finalist here. He said that's the year where everything clicks without you having to think about it. And that's the difference. Oftentimes, whenever you've got an SEC defensive line bearing down on you, it's that tenth of a second, it's that half second that you don't need as a junior because everything is second nature to you. And that's particularly huge for Drew this year because last year, new offense, new offensive coordinator, lots of new weapons. Missouri really struggled at the wide receiver position for a couple years because they didn't have experienced players. You know, last year it was all freshmen and sophomores. This year it's all sophomores and juniors. And I think that will help Drew Locke a lot, too.
Well, and I need you to help me with something with Drew Locke because obviously these preseason, these way too early predictions, these rankings of every position, anything that really a website can do to keep traffic coming in, you know, that you have the top five quarterbacks in the SEC and you see Jalen Hurts and you see Austin Allen and now you're seeing Jarrett Stidham from Auburn. But at the same time, Drew Locke's coming back as the SEC's leading passer. Like, how is he not getting the love that all these other quarterbacks are?
I think it's probably because his team didn't have as much success as they wanted to have a year ago. I mean, it's a lot easier to recognize and remember players from teams that have winning records. And, you know, I think Drew would be the first person to tell you, yeah, you know, a big part of a quarterback is his personal winning percentage. And whenever you don't have a plus 500 winning percentage, it's easy to get forgotten about. But teams should not forget about Drew Locke whenever they prepare for him this season because he really looks poised to take that next step. He's got a great position coach and offensive coordinator in Josh Heupel, you know, the former national champion at Oklahoma.
Right.
And now he's in his second year with Josh. And Josh, he really pushes his players in the right way. He keeps the foot on the gas, has them continue to keep learning. It's always what's next. How are we improving? raised the bar over and over again. And I think it took a year for Drew to adjust to that, as you would expect with a new coach. And he and Josh toward the end of last year were really looking like they were on the same page through spring football as well. And I think that's going to help Drew a lot in his junior year.
Final thought here from Ben Arnett, Missouri Network. Basketball, very quickly. After a difficult year last year, the hire of Quanzo Martin and the staff he's brought in, particularly Michael Porter Sr. and the recruiting they've done, boy, to me, number one, it was an absolute shocker that they hired Quanzo Martin from Cal. Number two, it seems as though, boy, he has really paid dividends already.
My goodness, what a turnaround. Yeah. I mean, you could not have written this if you would have thought about this 3 months ago. I mean, the really exciting thing is I think the Southeastern Conference is really going to see for the first time what Mizzou basketball is all about. I mean, this is a program with a great tradition, probably the best Division I program to never go to a Final Four. And whenever I say that to people, they oftentimes look at me with a shocked face and say, what do you mean Missouri's never been to a Final Four? They haven't. For all the great players they've had and all the winning they did under Norm Stewart and then Quinn Snyder and Mike Anderson after that. So I think you're going to see Mizzou basketball get back to what it's been in the past, extremely competitive, top 25 level program, perhaps even more this season. But I've been out to practice about four times in the last couple of weeks. They're working in the off season, and my goodness, the young players that they have brought into this program, Michael Porter Jr., top recruit in the country,
yeah.
Jeremiah Tillman, another big-time player from the Illinois side of St. Louis. And then they add that to experienced players like a third-year starting point guard, Terrence Phillips, Kevin Currier, average double figures his first 2 years in the league. Jordan Barnett, former Texas player, who is as athletic as they come. They could be scary good this season in just 1 year. But, you know, Quanzo Martin's motto throughout the entire offseason is to the finish line. Do not think you are going to win this thing. Do not think you are just going to wake up on the first day of the season playing Iowa State in early November, who's their first game of the year here in Columbia. Do not think you're just going to wake up that day and waltz through this season. You've got to go hard to the finish line, and that's what they've done here in the summer so far. And I think they've got a great staff and a real good mix of players to potentially get that done.
A lot of things happening during the offseason, getting ready for football, and like Ben said, already preparing offseason for basketball as well. Lots of things going on in the fall. And Ben, you're our go-to guy up there in Columbia. We hope to get a chance to talk with you again later in the summer and on into the season.
Anytime, guys. I appreciate it.
Ben Arnett with the Missouri Network appears.